Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Discover the Finger Lakes and SaverLife.com. And tomorrow on the wine show, we'll talk in more detail about some of the wine news in the Finger Lakes. But there's been a bunch of it lately. In spite of the shutdown, some changes, some publicity that's come out. For one thing, I just saw a couple days ago, the Buttonwood Grove Winery has purchased Toro Run, which is nearby them. Both are on the west side of Cayuga Lake, and Toro Run, been there quite a while. I think at least up until fairly recently, they were using or hiring Domaine Le Sieur's Sebastian to consult or make the wines. He was involved in the winemaking there at Toro Run, but Buttonwood Grove has now purchased Toro Run, and the press release says that they are going to do a couple of new things. They're going to use some different fermenting vessels, perhaps some of the concrete ones like Glenora has used and is using right now. Their concrete egg, which is from France, and Glenora has brought over a couple of those. There also are a variety of other fermentation vessels. Hector Wine Company uses some, and Forge Cellars, some really big kind of redwood vats, which kind of like we're going back in time somewhat to these large fermentation vessels. In this case, made of wood. So lots of intriguing things being done around the Finger Lakes, but also around the world. And Finger Lakes is kind of adopting some of these things that have been done in other parts of the world. And Hector Wine Company, partly because their owner's part of the partnership that created Forge Cellars, Justin Boyette. So that's bringing some expertise from France, from Louis Barol, as Chateau Saint-Côme and Gigondas in the Rhone Valley. And Hector Wine Company is on the east side of Seneca Lake. And Forge Cellars now has their own tasting room nearby and production facility. And making some fantastic wines. So this is yet another example of many in the Finger Lakes where when wineries are purchased, it is by other local wineries. And quite a bit of this has been going on. Someone from Philadelphia came up and purchased Earl's Meadery and Torrey Ridge, which is no relation to Toro Run. Torrey Ridge, that's near, that far from Fox Run, west side of Seneca Lake. And also purchased Rooster Hill on Cayuga Lake. So many examples of this around the Finger Lakes. Eventually, there will be some big corporations that will buy Finger Lakes wineries, but it hasn't really happened yet. And so we need to take advantage of the fact that there are wineries here and in Western New York, places like Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, are locally owned, family owned, and that makes a difference. A lot of wineries in Long Island are corporately owned now, certainly California, Oregon, Washington. Big corporations have been purchasing those wineries. Not all of them, but a significant number, and it changes the region, I think, to have that type of corporate ownership. So they are planting additional grapes, Chardonnay, Cabernet Franc are going in. Some additional ones of those. They had Riesling, they had Grüner Veltliner, Pinot Meunier at Toro Run. And again, this is west side of Cayuga Lake, Route 89. And it should be interesting to see what they do. The Pittards, it's Melissa and David Pittard that own Buttonwood Grove, purchased that in 2014, not that many years ago. And within 2 years, which is really pretty amazing, their 2016 Riesling won the Governor's Cup in New York State for best wine in the state. That's an annual competition held by the New York Wine and Grape Foundation, and there are usually 800-900 wines that are from all over New York State in that competition. They choose the best Chardonnay, the best Riesling, the best Cabernet Franc, sort of each category, best of class, and then have a final tasting at that competition where they determine, and it's only those best of class wines. It's kind of referred to as a sweepstakes round, and the best of those gets the Governor's Cup. And again, Buttonwood Grove won that in 2017 for their 2016 Riesling. So they're clearly making really good wine. And I think I read that Ian Berry is going to be working with them in some capacity as winemaker at Buttonwood Grove and Toro Run. So he closed his tasting room up on the hill. It was not on the main route, which was a challenge probably to have people find him. It was up in Burdett, which is on the way to Ithaca from Watkins Glen, and loved his tasting room. It was a really gorgeous old building. It'll be fun to see what goes in it next, but loved it as a tasting room. He has continued to make his Berry Family Cellars wines. And again, I think he's either head winemaker or part of a winemaking team at Buttonwood Grove and Toro Run. So it's a couple of the things that are happening here in the Finger Lakes. There was also some very, very, very sad news. Andrew Chambers, who'd been a chef in the Finger Lakes for quite a few years, only 32 years old, passed away suddenly this past week. And it's a small community, the community of chefs and restaurants and wineries here in the region. And Andrew was from here, I think from Penn Yan, and became the executive chef at the Wine and Culinary Center before it became New York Kitchen at the New York Wine and Culinary Center. Worked at several restaurants, also worked at the casino in Seneca Falls, Waterloo, Del Lago, and I've interviewed him several times. One of the very quiet chefs, kind of very, I have to say, I had to do a bunch of editing to raise the levels of his voice, because partly it's just the contrast. I have a fairly loud voice that carries, and he has a very soft voice, soft spoken. It was actually Gary Parmalee from FLX Table, FLX Hospitality, who posted a wonderful tribute to Andrew. You should look that up if you've met him, or even just in some ways as a window into the world of a chef's kitchen. And so I guess Andrew is not always quiet in the kitchen, I really, really loved hearing the stories that Gary Parmalee told, but also those that responded in the Facebook post about Andrew Chambers and some of the stories that they had from working in the kitchen with Andrew. A huge loss for our region. He was an effective part of the Finger Lakes Culinary Bounty. He was a huge local foods advocate, someone who really made their mark on our region, both in the people that worked with him, as he was a mentor to people like Gary, and also in the farms and farmers that he worked with. So, again, much, much too early to lose a chef like this, and great loss for our region, his family. Condolences to his whole family and the extended family that worked with him in the kitchens here in the Finger Lakes. You really got a sense for how bonded you get in a kitchen where, you know, the conditions are challenging, the stress is high, it's hot. You know, people tend to dine at 7 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays, and you know, the stress of trying to make things work and to produce exceptional food for every single person is got to be extraordinary. So it is, again, the posts and the comments are a window into that world, which most of us who love restaurants and dine out and are excited that they're reopening, very few of the people that dine in restaurants really understand just how challenging that job is. And again, if you want links to that or anything that I mentioned here on the show, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. If you have some fond memories of meals that he cooked, events that he did, comments that he made, please post them. His obituary is online, and there's a memorials page you can go to post comments. And again, if you want any links, send me a note. A dear friend of mine passed away about a year ago, who was one of the biggest fans of chefs and restaurants that we've had. I think someone who didn't cook, didn't work in a kitchen, but just loved food, and was one of the best people I've ever run into at telling chefs that, and and asking to meet them, and just raving about their food. You know, and most people go to a restaurant and talk to the wait staff, and and if it's a busy night in a restaurant, that's not a good time to ask to meet the chef, clearly. But if it's not that busy, and you should consider going on nights of the week, like most of them, except Fridays and Saturdays, that tend to be quieter at restaurants. But Mondays, not a lot of restaurants are open because it is such a quiet day. Sundays, often fairly quiet, although Father's Day tomorrow, restaurants already at 50% capacity, they'll be probably fairly busy. But search out the times of the day and the night when restaurants aren't as busy, and ask to meet the chefs if you love the food, and tell them. And not many people do that these days. And it's a great personal connection. You get to know the chef maybe a little bit, and that just makes it a richer experience. So let me know if you do that, if you run in and meet some chefs that way. There's some fascinating people, and we need to acknowledge and rave about what they're doing in the kitchen. And it will get back to them if you tell the wait staff, but it's really it's so much better when you can say that in person. You can send them an email, you can send them a card, but take the opportunity to meet them if it's not a busy time at the restaurant. And the same goes with the winemakers, the winery owners. These are cool people. Many of them with diverse interests and fascinating people to meet. One of our listeners just ordered a case of wine from Fox Run Vineyards and mentioned that they heard me and heard about Fox Run Vineyards from my radio shows and now podcasts. Scott Osborne, the owner of Fox Run, which is, it's not a small business. A normal year, they might have 50,000 visitors to the winery. They distribute wine in Europe. They distribute it many states around the country and British Columbia and Alberta, Canada. It's a pretty big business. And by the way, their cafe has reopened. But Scott sent a little note with the case of wine, just thanking them for their order and mentioning me, which was nice, and saying, you know, you should stop by and say hello next time you're at the winery. And Scott meant that, you know. I think you have a lot of fun meeting him, meeting his winemaker, Peter Belt. As some of the small tasting events will be coming back, you should try to meet these winemakers and winery owners and restaurant chefs and restaurant owners. It makes it more personal, makes it more fun to do that. They are moving around somewhat. Chefs do, maybe you end up following them. I had some old friends who had a favorite chef in Toronto, Jamie Kennedy, and they would go wherever he was cooking at the time, and he was cooking at several restaurants and then opened his own restaurants, and I don't know, for maybe a decade, maybe more. Every year they would go and have their anniversary dinner wherever he was cooking. So it didn't matter which restaurant, where it was, but they would follow him. And the same with chefs and winemakers, should follow where they go. It'd be interesting to see what Ian Berry does at Buttonwood Grove. Also saw a note that Heron Hill has hired a new winemaker, this is Jordan Harris, who is coming to the Finger Lakes. Interestingly enough, was educated in Canada at Niagara College in Ontario, and been recognized in Canada as one of their top winemakers, has been working in Virginia, and I guess he was named top 40 under 40 tastemakers with Wine Enthusiast magazine, and top 100 most influential winemakers in the U.S., through infowine.com, intowine.com. So, interesting person. I can't wait to interview him. Again, Jordan Harris coming to the Finger Lakes to work at Heron Hill. Virginia, there are other states around the country that have vibrant wine regions and wineries. Virginia is one of those, also North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan, Texas. There are many states vying to get the recognition that the Finger Lakes has won over so many years. That's one of the reasons that we've been fighting issues like gas storage and trash incinerators here in our region, because the Finger Lakes brand is really, really valuable and known around the world now for the wine. It's been decades of doing tastings in Europe, of the inviting wine and a restaurant staff from New York City to work in the Finger Lakes for a week. There's been competitions that Finger Lakes wineries have sent their wines to. people like Willie Frank went and did wine dinners all over the Northeast, not just around our area, but all around the Northeast. And, you know, decades have built this brand, which is the Finger Lakes, and this note about the winemaker coming from Virginia and being named one of the under 40 tastemakers and wine enthusiasts shows maybe a little bit about the quality of what's going on in these other states. We won't see them in our local wine shops. We won't see them on local wine lists. But there's a lot of states that want to be where the Finger Lakes is right now. And we can't sit on the laurels of decades of this work. The wineries aren't doing that. They are working hard every day, trying to improve, working on new techniques. It's a constant process. And similarly, consumers, we can't take for granted the success of the Finger Lakes. We need to buy the wines, send them to family and friends, promote the region, and really be advocates for Finger Lakes and for New York State. So those are some of the things happening in the wine world in the Finger Lakes. A lot of the wineries are open now. They're tasting rooms for smaller capacity and outdoor seating, but not all of them have reopened. So, but many, most have, I would say. And Fox Run, by the way, is putting on a new deck. They posted some photos just a couple days ago of their deck, which was not big, and had been up for quite a few years. They decided to double the size of it, and so that construction is underway now. And it has always been the best place that I found in the Finger Lakes to watch the snow geese during the winter. So Fox Run, like many wineries, is open year-round. And during the winter, flocks of tens of thousands of snow geese overwinter on Seneca Lake. And they hang out in the middle of the lake for overnight and then fly off each day to some field, the farmer's field nearby, to sort of find some food and then come back. And so the lake is relatively warm. They overwinter, sleeping overnight there in the middle of the lake. And so you see this iceberg of white from Fox Run's deck. And again, that'll be a bigger deck within a couple of weeks as they expand that. Something that would have been very hard to do during regular business, because they would be swamped with visitors right now, and the slow reopening has given them a chance to work on some of these projects and get this deck redone. So continuing to invest in the winery, invest in the region. These are some great people. And again, when you're thinking about wine, and you know, whether you're choosing it in a wine shop or thinking about where to order some wine, have it shipped to you or shipped to a family friend or as a thank you to someone, there's some great shipping deals. And sending wine from New York State is it's a vote of confidence. You're supporting a local business, but you're also sending these great tasting wines to other parts of the country and sort of showing off what we do here, which are really a lot of different wines. And tomorrow we'll talk about the New York Times article Eric Asimov wrote about Riesling and about the challenges of promoting and selling Riesling. But he truly does love Riesling, and he posted 10 Rieslings, dry Rieslings, from $20 to $45. One of those is from the Finger Lakes. It's actually the first one, Herman Wiemer, which their dry Riesling, $19.99. And but he also says in this article, with so many great dry Rieslings, why did he pick these 10? He says, in the pandemic mode of shopping online, these are the ones I could find, which is not to demean them. They're wonderful. So are many others. This is not a top 10 list by any means, but these are wines that he could have shipped. He also says, why these prices? I've written about less expensive Rieslings before. The Finger Lakes is a great source from producers like Ravines, Forge Cellars, Bloomer Creek, Nathan Kendall, Dr. Constantine Frank, and Redtail Ridge. So, and he mentions Riesling producers from around the world. It is a the description of the dry Riesling from Hermann Wiemer is nice. He says the Wiemer Rieslings have always been more floral than mineral. Breathing in this wine is like inhaling a meadow full of flowers. It's floral on the palate, too, with a touch of fruit and wet stones. So often the wine descriptions get really specific. I kind of like this more general description of the Hermann J. Wiemer Riesling. And by the way, I mentioned earlier in the show that Buttonwood Grove had purchased Toro Run, and one other example of local wineries purchasing another local winery, Hermann J. Wiemer, purchased Standing Stone a few years ago when the owners, Tom and Marty Mashinsky, were looking to retire. Hermann J. Wiemer purchased that on the opposite side of the lake from the original winery. It gives them a lot more vineyards, additional production facility, some historic vineyards, actually. Some of those Standing Stone vineyards were part of Gold Seal's vineyards. I think the Chardonnay in particular. So, again, locally owned businesses here in the Finger Lakes and in Western New York among the wineries. And with the reopening going on, Phase 3 now has been going for a week. I hope you'll support these local businesses as they struggle with coming back from the shutdown. And I said in the last hour on the food show, wear a mask. It is not a hard thing to do, and it shows respect for other people. It's crucial right now. We can't afford to go backwards. We can't afford for the infection rate to go up. And there's a high risk of that because the reopening brings people more in contact, and that's how infections happen. So get used to wearing a mask. Find one that's comfortable. Find one that's colorful, and have it with you at all times in case you need it. Just carry it around in your pocket. Maybe get a couple of them so you have a backup, so you can leave one in your car, or if you forget and don't bring one, you have that extra one with you, perhaps in the car. Well, we need to stay on this path of reopening, and that's going to be a challenge with the warm weather, with family gatherings, friends getting together, and not observing social distancing and wearing masks. Infection rate will go up. We need to keep it down as much as possible. If you know of things going on in the Finger Lakes that you don't hear me mention, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. And this is only the second week that we've been on the schedule of only on online broadcasts. We'll be setting up the podcast links here very shortly. But I'm excited about a new chapter in doing these shows and focusing even more on our local businesses. And if you have some favorite ones, favorite places to go, favorite waterfalls, etc., email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back tomorrow with Grapevine at 9 a.m. It's saverlife.com. Early happy Father's Day. Have a great day.